Parshat B'Shalach is the story of Klal Yisrael being able to be saved completely from the Egyptians. Jewish people cross through the sea, a great miracle happens, the sea splits, Jewish people walk through as if it's dry land. Paro and all the Egyptian cavalrymen are drowned in the water. As Yashir Moshe B'nai Yisrael, at that point Moshe and the Jewish people sing a shira to Hashem, a song to Hashem. The end of the Shira, source 1, you will bring them and implant them on the mount of your heritage. It's a vision of the future, the foundation of your dwelling place that you, Hashem, have made, the sanctuary, my Lord, that your hands established. Hashem shall reign for all eternity. Hashem yimloch lolam va'ed. This is the vision. This is that Hashem will be king forever. Next verse, when Paro's cavalry came with his chariots and horsemen unto the sea, and Hashem turned back the waters of the sea upon them, the children of Israel walked on the dry land amid the sea. Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took her drum in her hand, and all the women went forth after her with drums and with dances, Shiru LaHashem Ki Goel Gadol, which was spoken about in the past. So I'd like to look at two nekudos here, two ideas that we'll see that are really very much interconnected. The first on this great climax of Hashem Yimloch Lolam Ma'ed, Hashem shall reign forever. Source number 3, the Gemara tells us, in the Rabbi Yosef Glili is quoted as saying, if the children of Israel had used the present tense saying, Hashem is king forever and ever, Hashem Melech, Hashem is king, le'olam va'ed, forever and not Hashem yimloch. Yimloch is future tense. Hashem will be king. Had they said Hashem is king forever and ever, no nation in the world would have been able to rule over them. But they only proclaimed the divine reign for the distant future, thereby displaying a lack of confidence. They did not believe it was time for the nations to acknowledge Hashem's reign. Their lack of trust had its consequences. The other nations refused to accept the God of Israel and continue to scorn his people. It's interesting, the Unkelus translation uses both the present and the future to discourage any misconception that Hashem's reign is not firmly established, but both now and in the future. Hashem machute ka'em le'olam ulomei almaya. We need to understand, why is it that Klal Yisrael didn't proclaim Hashem as king right now? Why is it only Hashem yimloch l'olam ve'en? And in so understanding this, we need to be able, and this will be our first Mirtz Hashem work for today, what is this whole idea of Hashem being king? Malach, Melech, Yimloch, right? Adon Olam Hashem Malach, B'terem Kol, right? What is all of this about, past, present, and future? What is the significance? What's the difference between the present tense, the past tense, and the future tense crowning God as king? This becomes particularly important because we have this verse, Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed, or this concept that repeats itself throughout our davening. We'll talk about the pasuk, or not the pasuk, the combination of three psukim that Chazal put together in Yehi Kavod right before Ashrei. We say Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed. We have right here by Az Yashir every day, Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed. We repeat it twice. And we say the Aramaic translation as well in our davening, and that's found in source number 5. Then we have the Ruval Utsion, we have the Aramaic, Hashem Malchate Ka'em Lolam Me'amaya. And right before Shemot Esrei, we have Sur Yisrael, Kuma Vezrat Yisrael. What do we say? Right? Shira Chadasha, Hashem Yimloch Lolam Ve'en. Once again, this is like the highlight of the Shira, that Hashem will rule forever. And likewise on Rosh Hashanah, the first pasuk of Malchios, of God's kingship. Once again, Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed. So this pasuk appears over and over again. We need to understand, if we say a pasuk so often, or the concept so often, we need to understand what this concept is all about. That, my friends, is question number 1. Question number 2, which is equally fascinating, is this pasuk Yotet. When Paro's cavalry came with his chariots and horsemen into the sea, and Hashem turned back the waters of the sea upon them, the children of Israel walked on the dry land amid the sea. The question that the Farshim ask, is this part of the Shira or not? The Ibn Ezra, this is source 4, according to the Ibn Ezra, this verse is part of the song. It exalts the dual miracle which occurred at the sea. that even while the Israelites walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, the horses of power were being crushed by the cascading waters. And that is indeed the Ibn Ezra's opinion that this, Hashem Yimloch Lomed, we would think that's the end of the Shira. No, the end of the Shira is exalting the miracle of two opposites, salvation, destruction, happening simultaneously. The Ramban contends that this verse is not part of the song. He points out that it corresponds neither to the style of the song nor to the terminology of its prophecies. He explains that this verse is an introduction to the next two verses concerning Miriam's song. And this is a big question that is asked. When you take a look, and this is the Vayivin Bamikra notes in Source 6 and 7, he points out on more of a technical level, that when you take a look at the Shira is written like bricks. When you take a look at the Shira, you will notice that Kivasus Paro is part of the Shira. It's part of the song. It's written that way. And therefore, and you see where the break in the Chumash is by the Parshios, the Pei and the Samech, that indeed it seems to be part of the Shira. The question that is raised is, do we say this in the Az Yashir or not? And there are some communities, we'll see Rav Schwab quotes it later, it's really a machloka between the Arizal and the Gra, whether we do say this in our davening or not. Rav Schwab brings down that their minhag was not to say this, because albeit it may be part of the Shira in terms of, which is a question, in terms of the Sefer Torah that has to be written correctly, it has to be written, you know, layered that way, but it's really conceptually not part of the Shira. And since our reading of the Az Yashir every day when we say it is more of a Shira than a Kriya, which has implications, we've spoken about in the past, where you're supposed to say it as if it's happening to you right now, that it's the song that we're singing, and it's not just a recitation of the of what happened. So therefore, there are some people that say, this is not part of the Shira, we don't say it in our davening. Others say, no, it is part of the Shira, and we do say in our davening because it is part of the Shira, so we need to understand, if it is indeed part of the Shira, well, what is it doing here? And would we not think that it should come before Hashem Yimloch Lomed? Should it not come earlier? Like, it almost seems anticlimactic, you know? Hashem Yimloch Lomed, Hashem will rule forever. And, oh, by the way, let me tell you, technically, you know, the Egyptians, you know, came and the Jewish people. We need to understand the connection between Hashem Yimloch Lomed and why this would be indeed the conclusion of the Shira. And if we're going to already deal with the Siddur in Source 5, it's interesting that after, at least in the way most of us, and again, depends on your minhag, do have this, the end of this section, after the Az Yashir, is V'alu Moshim Behar Tzion, the Saviors will send Mount Zion to judge each of the mountain. It's very much a futuristic vision. So we have to understand how this verse fits in to this futuristic vision of Hashem Yimloch Lomed, and V'alu Moshim Behar Tzion, V'tal Hashem Lucha, V'yashem L'melech HaKol Haaretz. It's very much about Malchus Hashem. It's almost like, you know, L'havdil Elof Havdolo, Sesame Street, what doesn't belong? This verse doesn't belong in our davening, and we need to, seemingly, we need to understand what this is all about. So let's begin with what Hashem Yimloch Lomed is about, and it is so fundamental, it is so, it's a core, really, of what our Yiddishkeit is about. I'd like to examine the whole idea of Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Lomed. There's a lot to say. I'd like to base it primarily in the writings of Rav Pinkus, first in Tiferet Shimshon in his Sefer on Chumash, and then to take a look in his Sefer on Siddur, in the Peirush on the Siddur. And then we'll move into four or five different explanations of how Hashem Yimloch Lomed dovetails with Kivas Sus, how this is the ultimate praise. And we'll end in Mirtz Hashem with understanding how Hashem Yimloch Lomed becomes our banner before we start Shmon Esrei. Let's begin with a beautiful mimer in Source 8. He notes that this pasuk that we say in Yehi Kavod, right before Ashrei, after Hodu Mizmor Toda, is really a compilation of three different psukim, which Chazal never do. The one pasuk is Hashem Malach, Hashem Melech Olam Ve'ed Avdu Goyim Arzo. Next pasuk is Hashem Malach Ge'il Laveish, and our pasuk, Hashem Yimloch Olam Ve'ed. And Chazal put them all together And they made it one pasuk. Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch, L'olam Va'em. How do we understand this? So he says, there are two ways to understand what it means that Hashem was king. We can understand that Hashem was king before the world was even found, and that is Adon Olam, Hashem Malach, B'terem Kol Yitzir Nifra, that Hashem was king even before there was a world, there was only God. Or we can understand Hashem was king in a much more concrete way, and that is when Hashem was king when the kingdom of Israel was at its height. And he explains in source 9 by the arrow that from Avraham Avinu to Shlomo HaMelech there were 15 generations. It's not hard to trace. And from Shlomo HaMelech to Sidkiyahu HaMelech, which was the destruction of the first temple, there were also 15 generations. The total 30 generations, he says, parallels the cycle of the moon, the Chodesh, the month. And that just like the moon, we have the small moon coming to the fullness of the moon, and then, you know, the waxing and waning, and then it goes back from the fullness back to that sliver of a moon. That really describes these two periods. From Avraham Avinu to Shlomo HaMelech, we have Klal Yisrael getting greater and greater and greater. It's growing bigger and bigger. Indeed, we have by Shlomo HaMelech, Vayishev Shlomo al Kisei Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech sat on the throne of God, because we know there's really nothing called Malchus Beis David. This concept that David HaMelech has a kingship, it's not really what it means. It's the kingship of Hashem. David HaMelech or Shlomo HaMelech were the ones who zeh shemotzi me'akoach el hapoel ha'malchut Hashem yibarach. Malchus shenikrei Malchus Shamayim. When they sit on the throne and they are the physical kings down here, they're only a representative of God. They're only bringing out the kingship of God in this world. So Shlomo HaMelech, HaMelech Shashalom Shelo, the king to whom peace belonged to him, the time of total tranquility, was the time of connection, the time of Beis HaMikdash, when Shlomo HaMelech built it, was like the ultimate climax of the connection between the Jewish people and God. So Shlomo HaMelech is just a physical manifestation of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. Once Shlomo HaMelech's kingdom was over, and then you have his son Rechavam, which began the split of the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes, we have that full moon beginning to wane once again until it disappears with Sidki HaMelech, and then the moon is concealed, and then it's as if Hashem is no longer king because we don't see him. Hashem was king when it was in its fullness, but now that we have the Chorba, now we have the destruction of the temple, now that we don't have active kings sitting on the throne, it seems as if Hashem is no longer king. Al Kol Panim, however, in Source 10 in the Arrow, Nimsenu L'medim, Ki Apsukim Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch, Mevatim L'chora Shinuot B'mahut V'tzirat Hamlucha. That's why, at first glance, you could say that Hashem was king, Hashem is king, and Hashem will be king, are looking at three different periods of time. Hashem Pamalach, Hashem at one point ruled, Vashem Batid Yimloch, at one point in the future, very soon hopefully, Hashem will rule once again with that clarity. Elishiva Emsa Yishnam Aliyofi Yuridov, Vizel Hashem Melech, Gam Kayom Hashem Melech. But now there's this obscurity of Hashem's kingship where you don't see it with such clear clarity. Omnam ha-machut shel hayom l'chora eino k'mo ha-machut shel pam. And when we look at it in this vantage point, it seems that there was once this greatness of God's kingship. In the future there will be greatness, but now God's kingship is, you know, very much we call undercover. You don't feel it. B'vaday lo k'mo ha-machut shel atidah l'yom. Clearly, it's not the way it's going to be in the future when there's going to be with the clarity that Hashem is king. וכיוון שכך ניתן היה לחשוב שמה שנאמר השם מלך כיום הכוונה רב בתוך בין המדרש של יהודים צדיקים המתקתקים בכל המצווה קלה כבחבורה. And we think, you know, what does it mean Hashem is king? Hashem is king over those people who sit in the Beis Medrash, those people who are sitting and learning all day. Hashem is king over them in a very narrow sense and confined. That's how we can look at it. You know, those people who say Shema Yisrael, those are the people that Hashem has a relationship with. Lekach tiknu lanu chazal. In order for us not to say this, chazal put together, which was so unusual, these three psukim as one pasuk. Lilam deinu, the devil underlined in 10, davar atzum ad ma'od, to teach us something so fundamental. Hakolam shechachat zu sukiachat. No, it's not that Hashem was king in his full glory. Hashem will be king in his full glory. And now, you know, for Yechidei Skula, for some people, he's king. Wrong! Hashem is still king in his fullness of glory as he was in the past and as he will be in the future. Davar lo yishtaneh v'lo yishtaneh. Nothing changes with Hashem. Hashem malach pama yareach hayashalem. You're right. At one point the moon was full and you could feel Hashem's presence. Hashem yimloch, and at one point soon Hashem's presence will once again be felt. Ach kayom gam kayom Hashem melach. But no, today Hashem is king. Right now, this moment, very much the same, exactly the same, and therefore we link them together the way he was and the way he will be. Ela shekayom hemet rak musteret me'einenu ayidei cheshkaro lamazeh hadome lalayla. The problem is that there's darkness in the world. The problem is we don't see this kingship. But Hashem is there in his full presence. And this is Emes Lamita. And this is the truth. And this is the whole idea, he notes in 11. Just like when the sun, the moon reflecting the sun. So when the moon is a sliver, does that mean that anything has changed with the sun? No! The sun is in full glory. The moon isn't able to reflect it in its fullness for whatever, what we call scientific reasons. Likewise, Hashem's presence is in its fullness. The malchus of Hashem, Hashem melech, the kingship of Hashem may not be manifested in a way that we can access it to the fullest as was in the past and the future. Nicha, but that doesn't mean that Hashem doesn't exist in the same fullness of glory. The sun still exists. It is just our perception which is limited. And therefore, when we say Nimsa, the end of 11, Kebitui Shal Shem Melech Hu Shevach Atzum, Od Yoter Mashem Malach Hu Mashem Yimlo, Zoi Neshama Pnimit Sholam. When we say Hashem Melech, to a certain degree, that's a higher praise than Hashem Malach and Hashem Yimlo. Because when you see the moon in its fullest, when you see the Malchus of Hashem, duh, of course you say God is king, right? It's clear. But to be able to have this clarity that Hashem is king, to be able to have this clarity that right now Hashem's fullness is there, albeit that we don't see it, you're able to say Hashem Melech. You're able to hold on to this truth when the world around you is surrounded in the abyss of darkness. That is the greatest level. That is the greatest challenge. And that's why Rav Pinkus, in his Perush on a Siddur, he says, Emunah zu in 13, hi miyusod hayados. This is really the fundamental aspect of Judaism. Anu maminim, we believe, shebechol eid ubechol sha'ah, we believe at every moment, at every single, you know, millisecond of the millisecond. Gam kasher zoi shat hester panim, even at a time of darkness, even at a time where we don't see God's kingship in its fullness, ein shum davar ba'olam milvav ritzono pashut leitiv. We still believe that God is good, and God is one who's giving. And therefore, what we're asking for, we believe Hashem Elach. Of course Hashem is king. But kol otzma, with all the power. We ask for Hareini Hashem Chastecha. Let us be shown your kindness. We're able to sit, we're asking Hashem. Ki Hashem Malach, anachnu od zochrim Hashem Yimloch, ro'im sholom holech likratze. But Hashem Melech, this is the Gaguim Atzumim Eitzokol Yudi. This is what brings up such longing. When we say, Hashem Melech, which should come up in our hearts, is I want to be able to live this reality. I want to access this. I've seen Hashem in the miracles. Hashem Yimloch, I know I'll see Him in the future in the greatest manifestation of miracles. But when I say Hashem Melech, what I am recognizing is that right now, as we speak, at this moment, Hashem is very much present in my life, in your life, in the life of every single human being on earth, in the life force of everything in the natural world, in everything that exists. Hashem's presence is animated and is alive. Hashem Melech is our fundamental cry. And that is why in Source 14, the Kadmonim bring down that when a Jew would say the Pasuk, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch, L'olam Va'ed, they stood up. And in fact, if the tzibur of the congregation was saying it, and you weren't up to it, you were somewhere else, you heard them saying it, you stood up as well. Because this is what we believe in. Gaguim elu etzlenu hem koet sumim asha alpin sod kol misha shomea zoti died in 14. That anyone who heard this would, albeit he couldn't say these words because he's somewhere else in davening, alav lakum v'lamod ki amidam evatek shifa, would stand up because this is the yearning of being able to live in this shifa, of being able to see Hashem's presence right now, of the continuation of Hodu, of Kel Nekamot Hashem, Kel Nekamot Ophia. Hashem is very much involved in being able to bring about the destruction of evil and bring about this manifestation of goodness that we can all witness. But we know, a melech beloam, there's no nation without a king. And therefore, tzarich sheyeh mi sheyakir b'machlus v'yekabel ota. We have to not only say God is king, but a king needs to have a people. We need to be those who accept Hashem's kingdom. Kevan shekach aleinu liponen ketzah Hashem melech, Hashem melech, Hashem yimloch lom v'ed. Mitzvateh lo rak b'toch ha'olam, ela gam b'tochenu. And that's our challenge. It's not just to look in the outer world and see where God is, but look inside yourself. Look inside your life and be able to live with that clarity. When a child is born, they see the truth. At lo aleinu, the time of death, we also see the truth. The challenge is, you know, they say that the challenge of life is that dash on the tombstone between the year of birth and the year of death. The date of birth and the date of death. That dash is our entire life. That dash is Hashem Melech. Am I able to see? Avodat Hadam Hi Lakir Be'emet Hashem 16 Melech Hashem Melech Hashem Yimloch HaKolam Shechachad. It's one continuation. It's one reality. V'lechyot Imamet Zugam Kishu Adayim B'choshech. And to live with that, even when the moon is concealed, even though we don't have a Melech from Malchus Beis David, even though we don't see Hashem full glory, can you live with this truth? When times are hard, when you say, ugh, I don't feel like davening. Ugh, I've got a bench. I got to say brachos. Ugh, there's so many halachos of Hilchos Shabbos. You expect me to learn it all? And when things don't go the way we want them to go in our lives, when our script doesn't follow, the script we would like to write doesn't follow the script that Hashem has for us, are we able to say Hashem Melech? Not only I saw Hashem in the past, not only I hope to see and I know I will see Hashem in the future, but are you able to live in the present? And that's the challenge of Furing Right, Medrash brings down, of Kol Neshama Talel Ka, all of our Neshama praises God, Yud-Kei, which is half of the name of Hashem, of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is Hayahoveh V'yeh, He was, He is, and He will be. Most of us praise Hashem Yud-Kei of Hayah, He was, and Yihyeh, He will be. But to live a Radnu Tzadikim B'Hashem, like the Tzadikim were able to praise Hashem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Radnu Tzadikim B'Hashem, Leichana Latzli B'Hashem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, that's the challenge, my friend. That's the challenge that we live in, to be able to accept when something wonderful happens, as a karasa tov to Kresh Baruch Hu. When challenges happen, called to Avin Rachman Alutzav Avin, then Hashem, everything he does has a purpose, has a reason, and there is no mikra in this world. And to forge on. And this, says Rav Sternbach in Tam V'Das in 17, is hinted at in why we start in this compilation of our rabbis. It doesn't say Hashem Malach, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch Lamed, which would be the time order. God was king, God is king, God will be king. We say Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Lamed. We start with the present. Because he says, She yefshar lamlich elokim al zmanim acherim, kodim shemamim b'avayato mamlichol atzmo. You can't talk about God in the past and in the future if you don't live with Him right now. And that's our fundamental work, to be able to link the Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Lamed as one linkage, that all of time is one idea, and that is Hashem's so intense closeness to us, so much love for each and every one of us. And this is our challenge, that even in the times of darkness, of galus, of shchinta begalusa, the shchina is in galus, Hashem's presence is still, the sun is very much there, even if the moon is concealed. And to be able to access it as much as possible and bring Him into our lives. And the more we bring Him into our lives, whether it's by, you know, sharing Hashgacha Pratit stories at the Friday night table, whether it's you, when you tell a story to your kids, say, ah, well, tremendous Hashgacha Pratit, I met so-and-so, I can't believe I've been looking for this person, whatever it is. The way you bring this over to your children has a message. And as Matthew Solomon brings down his Sefer with hearts full of love, when challenges happen, you're able to say, this is hard, this is difficult, but I know Hashem is with me. And that, says the Sifte Chaim, is what we need to think about when we say, I understand we're still in Shvat, and Rosh Hashanah is, you know, 7 months down the road or so, 8 months down the road, but this is still what we need to say when we, the first Pasuk in of Malchios in Rosh Hashanah Davening, in the Musaf, in 18 of the 10 Pesukim. So he brings down from the Yisov Vishara Shavoda. When you say this Pasuk of Hashem Yimloch Lom Ve'er, Yechavei B'machshavato B'simcha Tzuma Ad Ma'ot, you should have tremendous joy, and you should think B'zeh Halosho. Ani Mekabel Elokutcha Machutcha Alai V'albanai V'albanei B'nai Tzav Kol Doros. I'm accepting your kingship for me, for my children, for my future generations until the end of time. I recognize Hashem, Yimloch Lamed, Hashem, you are Nitzchi, that you are forever. But I also, Amikabel, Alatriva, Banayitzov, Koladoros, O Machut Shamayim, Shashem Yemelech, Alaylo Lamed. Not only that Hashem will be king in the future, but I look at him right now as my king. Shani Tarikli Dov, Vlasokifi Yecholti, Shekach Yiel, Idei Shalom Deva, Chanchem, Lamim, Bemuna Shlema. And it's not enough that I am taking it upon myself that Hashem is king for me for all generations. I have to actively and proactively make sure that my children and children's children will also have this faith. And that he goes on to say, V'kabalat olo yitbarach b'chol ma'asai tavet dugma, davening and asking Hashem, help me that all my actions now be a reflection that I have taken upon myself your yoke of kingdom. Help me live a life that whatever I do will be so clear, will make such an impact that my children will also see from this how my whole life is centered around making God king for me, and this will be Mashpia Asof Kol Hadoros. So this is when we say Hashem Yimloch Lom Ve'ed, really at all times, but particularly of Malchios and Rosh Hashanah, it's not enough that Hashem will be king, but I need to make Hashem king right now and everything that I do. And it's very much like Unklus, now, you know, the continuous present till the future. But it's not enough just to say it. I have to live it. I have to act it. I have to be somebody who's going to be able to say, Hodu Lashem Kitov Kilom Chavto, when you hear good news. When you're happy about something, praise Hashem. You know, I just had this experience the other day. I went to a Rav to ask about schools for my kids for next year. And while I was talking to him, he got a long-distance phone call. And he hadn't heard from this person for a while. Very excited to hear from them. And he said, Hodu Hashem ki tov ki umchasta. Wow, you know, thank you Hashem that I, praise Hashem that I'm able to reconnect with this person. We all say, oh wow, so good to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in such a long time. Do we direct it to Hodu Hashem ki tov? That is making the impression on everyone around you. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the center of my life, the center of what my existence is about. Rav Meiselish in a Sefer, Imul Ufraim Mai Malchios, adds another nekuda, another idea to think about in Hashem Yimloch Lulam Va'ed, where he says, V'chol echad yachol lishbok kan et levavo lichanein ba'ad nafsho. You can think, when you say this pasuk, Achelek ha-malchot shechaser lo. Hashem Yimloch Lulam Va'ed, le'olam for the word helam, from that which is concealed. Hashem, help me be able to make you king on the areas shemita bekba that I really struggle with, that I want to make you king, but it's difficult for me. On those areas, Hashem yimloch, Hashem, help me make you a melech le'olam on the olam, on the helam, on those aspects of my life. And he says, v'efshar levakesh mitchanein shekadosh baruch hu yigaleh lanu malchuto shebetoch hatperut. And part of this is as well, Hashem, reveal yourself in those areas that are dark in my life, the areas that don't make sense. Ve'ir lanu kol machshakim, and enlighten me in all the darknesses of my life. And he says this pasuk has such great power to it, because when Klal Yisrael said this pasuk, it was a time of such love and connection between Hashem and Klal Yisrael that every time we say this, we re-arouse that original love and connection. And that's why we should learn, Rav Gamliel speaks about from the Purim story, but it's from life, be continuously cognizant of the fact, the end of 20, that anything and everything which occurs in the world at large, and with us personally, is all due through the hidden direction of the King of all Kings. Even when the moon is not there, and even when it's Olam and Helam, we have to feel Hashem Melech, the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself with his majesty. And although we are not always privileged to reveal and understand the true purpose and objective of what transpires, nevertheless, we must acknowledge that there's no such thing as just happening or being a natural coincidence. Hashem directs every nuance of our life. That, my friends, is idea number one for today. So fundamental. We say this pasuk, they used to in the past stand for this phrase of Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Lambaem. When we say this, it's not just saying it, it's taking that kingship upon us, it's living it, it's inspiring, it's gaguim, it's longing. Hashem, halavai, that you can be always manifested in my life with such clarity. Having said this, and understanding the enormity of this, we understand, going back to the original statement, that had they, Klal Yisrael, been able to articulate Hashem is king right now, with that clarity of the future, Hashem will be king, Mashiach would have come. That would have been the end. But we're still in that golus, we're still in that exile, where Hashem will be king, but they weren't able to articulate. Right now, we have this clarity. Right now, we're able to pinpoint it. So the question becomes, why not? What were they missing? And then, with this question, we have to then segue into how does this connect, if indeed we say that Kiva is part of the Shira, because again, that's what it seems like from the Chumash, and now it's part of the Shira and the way we write in the Sefer Torah, how does it connect with the next section? I'd like to just bullet five different ideas, among all the five, we come up with a prism of different ways that we can look at this. The first is one I don't understand at all. Why am I bringing it? Because I think it's fascinating. And I have the intellectual honesty to say I don't understand it. And I have no problem saying that. 21 Rav Schwab on prayer. Why then did Bnei Israel not declare right there and then Hashem Melech L'olam Va'ed? To understand the reason for this, let's look back at the moment of Adam Rishon Gan Eden. Although the opportunity to eat from the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, because of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, and he could have eaten from the tree of life and lived forever before the sin. Right? Why wasn't that the first tree he ate from? And this would have assured him everlasting life. He did not do so. The reason was because he knew that by doing so, he would lose his Bechira's freedom of choice. Here's the editor note that made me feel a little bit better. Unfortunately, the Rav Schwab did not explain the reason for this. One can only presume he meant that an assurance of everlasting life would presuppose that he and the rest of mankind would not have the ability to sin, and this would mean that man would not have possessed a moral freedom of choice, with which he would have the ability to freely choose to avoid evil and practice goodness without any compulsion. However, this unavoidably presupposes that he could also not sin, and the avoidance of sin by his own free will is man's greater superiority over all of other of Hashem's creatures. The Marisha did not want to lose this by partaking of the Eitz HaChaim. And he quotes here a Rav Hirsch, which I allude to right across in 23, by the Chatat LaHashem on Rosh Chodesh. This freedom is found only in man who has the ability to sin. For sensuality entices man with its allurements, but he's been endowed with the power to resist it by determination of his free will. By repeatedly exerting this power, he acquires the virtue of moral purity and attains closeness to God. Continues Rav Hirsch, however, were it not for man's ability to sin, and were not for sin's enticement to man, he would not be a man, but an animal or an angel who do not deviate from their appointed path. So the editor's note is about best I can do here as well, is that there was something about Adam HaRishon that he did not want this right now. He wanted this level of challenge. He felt that he could come closer to Hashem by struggling than just having it come easy, where there isn't this challenge. And that's why he ate from the tree. We'll call it a favor of the Shema. Let me be challenged and still come close to God. 22. It's for this reason then that Bnei Israel, Kriyas Yamsuf, did not say Hashem Melech L'olam Va'ed, but rather Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed. By saying Hashem Melech L'olam Va'ed, they would have forfeited their Bechira, their free choice. Hashem would have been recognized as King of the Universe, and this would have resulted in their immediate and unopposed settlement of Eretz Israel and the building of Beis Hamikdash as the capital of Machpel Shemayim on earth. This would have brought about the euphoric age of the Messianic times. However, Jewish people, fearing the loss of their free choice, preferred to say only Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed, that the universal recognition of Malchus Shemayim will occur at some point in the future. But for now, they wish to continue to use the Bechira in their Avodas Hashem. This, my friends, would then follow with 24, with Kivatsus Paro, because Paro, going into the sea, was not at all logical or natural. Can you imagine Paro faced 10 Makos a week later, after all the firstborns died, and he threw the people out, right? Get out of here. He then, going into the sea, you have to be nuts to do something like that. Doesn't he realize consequences? But this is Rav Gifter notes in Pirkei Torah 24. Through sin, Paro had corrupted himself to the extent he was no longer worthy of possessing freedom of choice. Paro was now, in essence, no different than an animal, a puppet, that acts in accordance with its master's promptings. And therefore, Kivasos Paro is the reason why Klai Yisrael said Hashem Yimloch L'olam. They didn't want to be like Paro, Kivasos Paro, of walking into the sea, who's lacked the Bechira, who's now, so to speak, a puppet in Hashem's hand. They wanted to be on a level of free choice. They didn't want to lose that. They felt they still had what to do. And again, it raises probably more questions than it answers, but I think it's fascinating, and that's part of our goal, Megama, in this year, is to raise issues that we struggle with. I always say this to my students in live. If we come out with more questions than answers and we feel more frustrated than when we came in, then I've been successful. Because life isn't about getting all your answers answered and you go home and have a good night's sleep. Life, I believe, is about struggle. That we have an idea, we have to understand what it means, and we ask, and we look into it, and that's how we grow, and it's through struggle that, you know, the caterpillar turns into a butterfly. You want to fly in life, my friends, you have to go through the cocoon process of easing yourself out, which is a painful, difficult process. That's approach number one. Approach number two is Rav Druk in Drash Mordechai, where he quotes here the Chida. First he quotes the Mechilta, and then the Chidah, the Mechilta. The second part of 25, the Mechilta says, Hashem Yimloch Lamed, Hashem will rule. No, it's a Medrash. Mipnei Ma, why? Kivasos Paro before Bashabayam. Because Paro went into the sea. What's the connection between the two? Hashem will reign only because Paro went into the sea. What's Pshat? So he explains the Chidah, who says the following, that Hashem punishes measure for measure. But Hashem promised that he will not bring a mabul, a flood on this world. until Mashiach time, then the rules will completely change. So now when Klal Yisrael see that Hashem is bringing Paro into the sea, Paro had thrown the boys into the water, so now he's getting punished measure for measure that he's being drowned in the water. Its people are being drowned in the water. But when Klal Yisrael, Jewish people see that Paro is being punished measure for measure, Kivastus Paro, that Paro is coming into the sea, and that Hashem didn't bring the sea on them even before they entered into the water. So Klal Yisrael, Jewish people, saw that the Mabul didn't happen, which means that we're not yet at the ultimate end. We're not at the end of time. Al-Korcha Shalor Giyati Kun HaShalem. You have to say that the ultimate end didn't happen. Kevan Shim Kvar Hayash Manakula, double underline at the end of 25, because if the redemption time had come, then Hashem wouldn't have to bring power to the Yam. He would have brought him a Mabul. And that's why they said Hashem Yimloch Lolam Va'ed. Why? Because Kivasu Paro. When they saw that Paro was being punished measure for measure, and a flood didn't engulf them, right? They had to come into the sea. Then they realized that the ultimate retribution has not yet come, and we're still living in the very much the here and now world. So according to this approach, it wasn't something coming from Klal Yisrael's decision of Hashem Yimloch Lolam Va'ed, we want to stay a status quo. They looked at the world and said, it's clear that Hashem wants things to be status quo, because Hashem is bringing them into the sea and not the sea to them. And therefore, Hashem Yimloch Lolam Va'ed, the final retribution, will only be in the future. Those are the first two approaches. The third approach is very interesting. It's a Chasam Sofer, where he says, Hashem will reign indicates the dream of universal acceptance of Hashem. And that was one of the objectives of Hashem as Kriyas Yamsuf, that the Egyptians should recognize his presence. But you know what, my friends? Here was the problem. Had the Egyptians gone out on the other side, they could have gone home and said, whoa, you can't believe the water just split. They went right through. We weren't able to catch them. The fact that they all died was a sign that God's kingship could not be then spread to everybody. That's why, had the Egyptians survived and emerged on the other side of the Yam Suf asterisk in 26, and prepared to tell mankind of Hashem's might, filled with his compassion, then Hashem Melech, his kingdom would have been recognized now with no postponement. It would have been so clear, the moon would have been full, so to speak. Why didn't this happen? Why did Hashem delay it? And that's again why they said Hashem Yimlo, Kivasu Paro, when they saw that Paro was drowned and did come out on the other side, they realized that this is not the ultimate in terms of being able to recognize God in the entirety of the world, and therefore they said it's a futuristic vision. This delay may have partially been the Jewish people's fault. As Rashi notes, those Jews whose faith was deficient needed some concrete proof of the Egyptians' defeat. It was provided in the form of corpses swept ashore. No sechasim sofer. Why did God do this? Why didn't he have them come out on the other end and everyone in the world would say, wow, this was it. This was like the greatest of the great. Because the Jewish people were still afraid. They were afraid when the Paro was chasing them. And they were afraid that, you know what, they're going to come after them again. Hashem had to kill the Egyptians and they had to see the corpses for them to say, oh, finished, done with, and not be afraid. It was a lack of faith in the Jewish people that to some degree they didn't see Hashem Melech right now. As great as Zekeli Vaveu, this is our God and we glorify him, there was still part of them that had this fear that they're going to be chased, they're going to be destroyed. And that fear that had to be allayed by the Egyptians being swept up ashore with corpses was the reason why it will only be in the future that this great revelation of godliness will be found, wherein the Pasuk Yeshayah says that the refugees from the final battles before Mashiach's arrival will propagate Hashem's glory upon all men. That had not yet happened. And this, if we take this a little bit deeper, the Siftei Chaim note that really this was a challenge of the Jewish people. By saying Hashem Yibloch, Hashem will rule, and not Hashem Melech, that Hashem rules right now, on some level they really believed, on whatever level it was, this lack of faith that there are other empires and rulers that they're afraid of. To be able to say Hashem Melech means that everything around us is a mirage, that all that exists is God. And I don't have to be afraid of this nation, and I don't have to be afraid of that nation, because all there is Ritzon Hashem. They weren't on that level. They couldn't say Hashem Melech, Kivas Sus Paro, for the very reason why Paro had to come into the sea and had to be drowned, because they still believed there were powers that they were afraid of. And the Golios, Him Tkufat Hester Panim Shamachus Hashem, end of 28, Kedel and Asotenu, Navim Shememet Hashemi Barach Lamela. And all these powers that we have until today are just testing us. Do we realize that there's nothing but the will of God? Do we really give credit to the Arabs, to the whatever, you know, group of people, whether it's the, whatever it is, Hamas, or whoever they may be, or Iran, or nuclear bombs, or do we realize that Hashem is the one running the show? ISIS, I mean, who's running the show here? V'agolus v'shulton ho'modim rak nisayon, o sh'niteh sh'v'emet yesh lehem shulton atzmi b'ladei Hashem. Do they have an existence aside from Hashem, or not? And this is our challenge. And this was a challenge of Klal Yisrael, to believe and to know that there's only one thing around. And that, my friends, is Ritzon Hashem. You know, it almost like reminds me, Lahavdil, of philosophy in college, which I nearly minored in. You know, do I exist? Does this table exist? Does anything exist? To a real reality, no, we none of us exist. We're all a mirage. We're all whatever it is. 30 years ago, I can't tell you what we are, who we are, but I know, Baruch Hashem, I'm still alive, that I can tell you, and that is that we have to realize that there is no Kach but Hashem. To be able to say Hashem Melech, that Hashem is King, with real certainty, means Lo Ira, I will not be afraid, because I know, Gam Ki Elech Begeitz HaMavet, Lo Ira Ra Ki Atah Imadi, even when I go into, one goes into the shadows of death, I will not be afraid, because I know Hashem is with me. And when I have that certainty, I can confront all challenges, all difficulties in life, because I know, ultimately, that Hashem is the only reality that is here. So we saw, why did they say Hashem Melech? They didn't want to lose their Bechira. They didn't want that future time to come. They still wanted to be at a point of struggle. Idea number two, they said Hashem Melech because they saw the Chidah, the Mechilta, that Hashem was punishing them measure for measure and didn't bring a mabul on them. They realized that the future time hadn't come. The Chasam Sofer, Hashem Melech, because they needed the corpses as a proof that, you know what, don't worry anymore, they're dead, those who are running after you. They weren't on a level to really believe that Hashem was the king, was the authority. And that's why we end with Kivas Sus Paro, that this is our challenge. Our challenge is, yes, Hashem Yimloch Lam Va'ed, but Kivas Sus Paro Barasha Bayam is our challenge. Can we able to see that all these paros are just mirages, and that they're going to disappear in the blink of an eye, that Yeshua is terrifying, or do we ascribe real power to them? There's a very beautiful idea of the Imrei Kodesh that I'm drawn to. My daughter gave me the sefer when she was making a pile. She said, I'm not sure this really is going to speak to. And I said, Rachel, this is what spoke to me of all of these, is the Imrei Kodesh, where he says, if you take a look at our pasuk, it says that Kivasus Paro Birchbo Bnei Israel Hachuba Yabasha B'toch Hayam, they went on dry land through the sea. It's interesting that earlier, when it talks about Klal Yisrael going through the sea, it says that Bnei Yisrael went through the sea on dry land. So why does it split? Usually it says, B'toch Hayam B'Yavasha, in the sea, on dry land, which makes sense. They went through the sea. It was on dry land. Twice it says that. V'yo Bnei Yisrael, B'toch Hayam B'Yavasha, in the sea, on dry land. But here, at the end of the Shira, It flips it around. Ubnei Yisrael hachuba yabasha b'toch hayam, on dry land in the sea. But they weren't on dry land, they were in the sea. So why does it flip it here? So the very famous idea in the Siva Shalom's quotes that we've mentioned in the past in Source 30 of Rabbi Elimelech Milushinsk, who says, it's really concept here. Dry land means the world of Teva, the world as we know it today. The sea represents the spiritual world, the Me'ala Teva. There's no kunz to see in the world of miraculous, when you're in the sea, that it turns into dry land. When you're living in the world of miraculous, to then see Hashem's hand, anyone can see that. V'nir'eh, but to be able to see, u'b'nei Yisrael achu b'yavasha b'toch hayam, that when they're walking by Yabasha on the dry land, you're able to see that it's really not dry land. Dovetailing with what we just saw, that really life is a mirage, that everything is miraculous, that the fact that I can walk, rokar, tzolamayim, I say brach every day, that I can stand, that I can walk, that the ground isn't going to, you know, collapse underneath me. Living in California, that, you know, happens, right? You can't take anything for granted. V'nire ki la sagavzu bao Yisrael ayidei behirus haneis v'kriyos yamsuf. That was the emuna that they reached, that they're able to go bahalicha by yabasho banhaga tivid shenireh sholam kiminago noheg yesh hashgacha pratit livnei Yisrael v'niflod on end caves. Why is this the last pasuk? So he says, after Klal Yisrael are able to say, there's going to be a Beis Hamikdash, the end of 32, Hashem yimloch l'olam v'ed, they say this pasuk again, uv'nei Yisrael chuba yavasha b'toch hayam, ki zoti madrega chaviva v'nitzkava, af yoter ma'ara galui delasi lovo. You know what's even higher than Hashem yimloch l'olam v'ed? That Hashem will be king. We said, well, isn't that the climax? No. The climax is Shira Tamuna Baera Golos Valicha Bayabashak Mobaicha Machim Beto Chayam, Veroim Ayim Vayim Yiflota Shavash Gachato Vitachlina Nesakriyas Yapsub. Our Pasuk is really the ultimate. Are you able to see at the time of Kiva Sus Paro, when Paro was coming? Are you able to sing Shira that life is about that when you are by Yabasha, when you are on dry land, when you are one Olam Kiminago no hey, when life seems to be normal, are you able to sing the Shira that there is no Teva? Rakakobash Kachat Parti, the bracken 31, Lamalamina Teva, the Sini Flow Kimo Batoch Hayam, are you able to see that there's nothing like nature, but everything is miraculous, and Hashem is ruling our lives at every single time? Ah, that is the height of Kriyas Yamsuf. So yes, there's a futuristic vision of Hashem Yimloch Lamved, and there'll be a Beis Hamikdash, but Klal Yisrael end and say, I'll tell you something, that's not the goal. The goal is to be able, maybe they didn't articulate it as Hashem Melech, which is what they're being held accountable for, but that's what this pasuk is saying. To be able to sing Shira to Hashem, and to be able to see that everything comes from Hashem, to be able to see that when I walk on dry land, it's Hashem who's creating a miracle, that I'm able to survive, that I'm able to be able to function in this world, in the Yabasha, in the natural world, to be able to see that as Yad Hashem, that is the greatest miracle of them all. And hence, that is the end of the Shira, the end of the song. The final idea that I'd like to share on this connection is Rav Hirsch. And I think Rav Hirsch is, even though there's another one in 41, but I think Rav Hirsch is probably the most simplistic, even though nothing's simple. 37. This verse concludes the song with the memory of the event that inspired it. Everything, Hashem overpowering human political power, Hashem overpowering the forces of nature, His love, saving, guiding, bringing home and planting His people, Israel's mission to serve and to glorify Hashem, Hashem's reign over the entire earth beginning here with His intervention in the course of history, all this they saw with their own eyes, kiva, from the fact that Paro's horses, etc. So explain to Rav Hirsch, the way I understand it, is that what we're coming here is full circle. That we begin as Yashir Moshe Avnei Yisrael Tashira Azot, right? Ashir Lashem Ki Golga Asut V'Rach V'Ramad Hayam. We begin talking about what has prompted this Shira. And after we say Hashem Yimloch L'olam V'ed, we come back full circle and we say, do you know why we're able to see Hashem Yimloch L'olam V'ed? Do you know what's prompted all this? This is 41, Rav Sadja. Because Hashem's reign shall rule for eternity, for the cavalry of Paro came. That Hashem is the ultimate one who's going to destroy all of the creation. all of the negative forces of creation. And you see this here, that the whole point of the song was to see God's hand in creation. And indeed, Sefer Mimamakim speaks about, we've seen this in the past, so we'll just review it very briefly, 38 to 40, that the word shira, song, root, comes from the idea of a bracelet, of a circle. That's why shur is a wall, because a wall encircles a city. In fact, the Targum translates Ushnei Smidim al Yadeha by Rivka, two bracelets on her hands, Vitrin Shirin al Yadeha. Shirin, a shir is a circle. And that's really what shira is about. Shira, to be able to sing a song, is about coming full circle, being able to come back to where you started from. In this case, on a technical level, Klal Yisrael, as Yashir, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Me'az Bati al Paro, from the time I came to Paro, things became worse. Now we come full circle, Az Yashir, the same Az. Things aren't worse. This is part of God's plan to ultimately destroy Paro and the Egyptians and the greatest manifestation of godliness. This is the idea of being able to see history coming full force, coming back from the beginning. And that's what he says a circle is about. Every geometric figure has a different koach to it. In 39, the koach of a circle is the farther you get from the point of origin, the closer you get back to the point of origin. And on a technical level, that's what this shira is doing. Kivas sos Paro is bringing us back to being able to recognize how we see Hashem's rulership and revelation is through the experience that happened in the sea. So let's just summarize what we've seen, and we'll end Mirtz Hashem with one final idea. Hashem Yimloch Lom Va'ed. Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch Lom Va'ed. They used to stand for this verse, for this combination of verses. It's the essence of a Jew. To be able to see God as the king in Shlomo Melech's time was easy, based on Migdash. You saw it, Revelation. To be able to see God in the future, that's also clear. But to be able to see Hashem right now, that's our challenge. That's why Rav Sternbach, Hashem Melech is first. We have to make Hashem king over us. And as Yisrael Bishar Shavoda points out, that's our job. To live a life where it's so clear, that it's clear for me and for my children, my children's children, and Sof Kol HaDoros, that Hashem's reality and revelation is with such clarity that everything I do, Hodol Hashem Ki Tov, Ki Lom Chasdo. How does this pasuk tie into the next part? So we saw a number of different interpretations. Because Paro came, they saw what it means to have a lack of Bechira. They didn't want to have a lack of Bechira. They didn't want to have a lack of free choice. They wanted that free choice. They didn't want the ultimate end. They saw it, that Hashem wasn't ready, that Hashem didn't bring the Mabul on them. They realized the time wasn't right yet. Or they were lacking in a certain degree. They brought certain amount of too much feeling that this group has power on them. They needed their bodies to be washed up. Hashem Yimloch, they're not ready yet for that ultimate revelation of godliness. And that's our challenge, to be able to see there is nothing but the will of Hashem. You know, I was talking with my daughters this week about the terrible attack in Tel Aviv on the bus this week. And I said, you know, what's stopping Loa Lady from any Arab getting on any bus and doing what happened this week? And their answer was so clear. One, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it. It has nothing to do with them. Hashem runs the world. That's what we have to understand. Our focus has to be correct. Hashem Yimloch Lom Va'ed, that really the Kiva is telling us the goal, the ultimate is that they're able, b'yabasha b'toch hayam, to be able to see in real life that we're living b'yam, we're living miraculous, when we're able to join the two forces together. Or this is coming full circle. This is how the Shira began, and this is how the Shira ends. Just like to end with one final idea. It's interesting that when we say Hashem Yimloch Lom Va'ed right before Shemoneh Esrei, which is Smicha Geula L'Tfila, which is the idea of bringing the bracha of Gal Yisrael, that God is a Redeemer, with our davening, and the whole idea of Hashem's presence in our lives. We say right before that, Yachad Kulam Hodu Himlichu V'amru, they all said Hashem Yimloch Lom Va'ed. What's this idea of saying it in unison and giving thanks? So Rav Olson speaks about that Shira is this whole idea of unison as well. That it's not just music or it's not just song. It's a combination of music and song together. And that combination, he says, I'm doing 43 through 46, has to be in a balance. Just like poetry has a certain rhythm to it, song has a certain rhythm and a beat, and it comes together so beautifully. So too musical instruments come together, that, you know, in a perfect harmony together. And what we don't want to happen is that, you know, one person is going to play this and one person is going to play that, or you say this or say that, and it's out of harmony, it's out of sync. The beauty of Shiras Hayam is that Kla Yisrael were able to sing this together. Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed, he says Yimloch in 46 is the same letters as Kalim. Kalim is that which holds everything together. When life is a mess, the beginning of the world, there was Shviras HaKalim, the breaking of the vessels, when things are disparate, when things are all over the place. Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed has that ability of bringing everyone together. And this is why the Datraga, Rosh Raga Grossbart in 47 points out, in the future, Yeshaya Navi says, V'ra'u kol basar yachdav ki pi Hashem dibir. In the future, everyone's going to see that Hashem has spoken. That was the revelation of Kriyas Yamsuf. They were able to see together, yachad, together they're able to see the revelation of godliness. That is our goal in Avodas Hashem, to be able to work in sync together. That you may be doing this and I may be doing that, but we're all serving Hashem. And it's not like I'm trying to outdo you and you're trying to outdo me. Let's work together to be able to create a shira, a beautiful harmony that together, me and my Avodas Hashem and you and your Avodas Hashem, we can work together. And it's interesting, in 48, Rav Schwab notes on Perush on the Siddur, since the two psuki, Mi Kamoch and Hashem Nimloch, L'olam Va'ed, are the high points of the Shira, the minhag is for entire congregation called to say them together, as our forefathers did, Yachad Kulam Hodavim Lichu V'amru. And I never thought about this. If you come to shul, you'll notice that these psukim are said out loud, almost like wonder why, and the answer is this reason. Just like they said it out loud then in harmony, we say it in harmony as well. Right? The whole tzibur says it together. Why? Because Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed is our goal, and that's what we have to harmonize for. That Hashem's kingship, the revelation of God's rulership, is what our goal has to be in our lives. And every time we say this pasuk, we have to realize that Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed is part of Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, and Hashem Yimloch. It's all one long chain. And our challenge is, yes, to yearn for the future, but to be able to live the present of feeling Hashem's presence and be able to work together in a harmonious shira of Yachdav to feel Hashem's presence and to be able to work toward this goal of by Yabasha B'toch Hayam, that everything that happens is Hashem's hand over cold side of the shell at every step of the way. And then we will be Zocha to have this state of being of Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed, that this will be it, that everyone will see that which we know of Hashem Malach, of Hashem Melech, that it will be that with that clarity of Hashem Yimloch. But till then, our challenge is to live Hashem Melech with that fortitude of faith, that wherever we go, Hashem is with us, Hashem cares for us, Hashem loves us, and that's the message we need to take home with us.